City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Sten? Potter?
Here. Please read the 3:30 time certain.
Item 670, recognize contributions of Portland's military servicemen and women and support various reintegration efforts in support of returning veterans.
Commissioner Adams?
Thank you, Mayor Potter and colleagues on the City Council. This is the second resolution of support that the Portland City Council has considered in the last 2 years, offering our wishes for the military personnel serving in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other places around the world, our support. Today we're going to be focusing on the veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan and good work that's underway by a variety of jurisdictions to support those veterans reintegrating into our community. And it's important that we do this. This council is on record opposing the fact that we are at war in Iraq and the reasons and the methods that we went in there. But we are also on record very supportive of the men and women who are serving in these wars and these conflicts. And today is another tangible way that we can offer that support. There are 18,000 Oregonians who have served or are serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have 5,000 of those troops are from the Oregon National Guard. And although the federal government has the primary responsibility for the welfare of our nation's veterans and communities, we are seeking to be a good partner. Today you're going to hear about a number of good programs, including the Oregon National Guard Veterans Reintegration Program, which is serving not only the citizens and the veterans of Oregon and Portland well, but also serving as a model on the national level. Today is a very, by happenstance, today is a very fitting day that we do this. This is the 63rd anniversary of D-Day from World War II. And we have a number of panels today and then consideration of the resolution before us. Our first panel is Bob Durston, who will lead us off, who's done the key staff work on this effort, followed by Kimberly Mark Villa. Followed by
Sergeant
Jacques. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Jacques, sir.
Jacques. I'm not very good with my French. I apologize. So, Bob.
Thank you. And I realize you guys have been in council all day. So, Mayor, members of the council, thank you for bearing with us. We will keep our comments as brief as possible. But in starting this project, I had a wonderful opportunity of meeting a lot of wonderful men and women who have served in the military, both in Iraq and Afghanistan, but also before that. There's just a lot of good veterans in this community. And what I also found out is there's a lot of people, both military people and civilians, who are doing a lot of wonderful things to help veterans returning from the two wars that we're currently in and reintegrating into our community. It's not an easy process to go from a war zone back into a community. But the one thing that I'm certain about, that as a community, we can help that effort. We can help these men and women come back to our community, and we will all be better for it. Unfortunately, my prior experience with some veterans was when I was the director at Transition Projects. And quite frankly, there were far too many homeless people who were also veterans. It was, to me, a shame to the country that occurred, and I think we can do better. I know Portland can certainly do better. With that, I'm going to turn it over to the people who know a lot more about this subject than I do.
My name is Kimberly Mark Viella. You all know me as the Liquor Licensing Program Coordinator in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Many of you may not realize that I'm a retired U.S. Army National Guard with the 1042nd Air Ambulance Medical Company in Salem. I'm here today because I believe that the Veterans Resolution is a first step in bringing the community together for a positive on a negative subject. For so long, people have focused on a topic of should we be in Iraq, and those soldiers in other countries and wars like Somalia, Bosnia, Panama seem to be under the radar these days. Every soldier commits to their job, whether they are National Guard, Reserve, or active duty. We, like police officers and firefighters, swear an oath to protect and defend the state of Oregon and the United States of America. 20 years ago, you would not have ever had a single mother of three sitting in front of you saying, "I'm a combat veteran." I was told recently that the city currently employs 41 veterans, but I know there are actually more veterans working for the city of Portland, because over my 22 years of military service, I've worked with many soldiers who were in city employees and veterans of other wars. Since my retirement, it should be noted the military has never contacted me for any post-deployment follow-up. And yes, in my opinion, it should be the government's responsibility to do so before that ridiculous 2-year drop date occurs for benefits. War isn't like that commercial, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." It comes home with us. For some, it can destroy their lives. And I assure you, though it was a good thing the government extended benefits to Guard and Reserve, most of us don't hit the point of asking for help for many years. So I've come to find out from my counselor. You're going to hear some things about me today that are going to surprise you. I won't lie to you. I came home with problems. I just didn't tell anyone because, like any other bad experience in my life, I figured it would fade in time and I would move on. Only this issue hasn't followed that path in my life. It got worse. The more I tried to push it away or ignore it or find ways to control it, it just got worse. Some nights, my memories are my nightmares. I wake up, and like right now, I can't breathe. My heart's racing. I sweat. I cry, and I want to scream, but I can't. This is just a tiny part of what I go through still today, 4 years later. And there is so much more to it than that. Though the VA denied me assistance because my 2 years of benefits expired by the time I contacted them, I'm thankful to a nurse at the VA hospital named Joe Smith, and yes, that's actually really his name, who on more than one occasion listened to me in tears on the phone while I sat in my car or at my desk during work, after work, totally a mess, wondering if I was actually going crazy. He was a voice in the darkness that held me together on more than one occasion. Thanks to Joe's referrals, I'm learning how to deal with this crap. If I could go back and change one thing, I would have told someone when I first came home. But the military is not an organization that promotes reporting personal problems. Problems are a sign of weakness, and being a woman, there is no way I would have spoken up at that time, or probably even now. But being retired, I feel okay with doing that. There are many challenges facing veterans from the time they find out they're being deployed to returning home and back to their lives. It's our job to help that transition both ways. Other people will speak to you today about some of those challenges, such as physical injuries, PTSD, TBI. Please, please listen very carefully to them. I had never heard of PTSD before I called the VA a year and a half ago. Know the cost of dealing with these issues long term will impact the city, the county, and the state for decades. I was 2 seconds away from walking away from my life 5 months ago. I couldn't deal with it anymore. I would have most likely ended up homeless or on the streets or possibly dead and using public resources in some way or another, but not intentionally. You have to know today that the city of Portland is already covering some of those expenses. Because because the people who sent me there so far have taken over a year and a half to decide whether I'm actually lying about my issues because I didn't report them when I came home. I've provided you a memo that concentrates mainly on city employees, but could partially be expanded to cover all veterans in the city of Portland. I believe it's time for the city to have one person or a program that coordinates all the paperwork, meetings, resources, referrals for employee soldiers and their families before they leave and when they return. This resolution should be the beginning of our commitment to this underserved and very underrepresented community. My fear is that we haven't learned from the past regarding veterans being terminated, penalized for exhibiting symptoms of a disorder. Sometimes these people end up in jail, sometimes they end up homeless, or they come home with an injury where they could be retrained for another position but weren't. I've had a hard time readjusting, and I'm a strong and independent person before I left, and now I'm fighting very hard to find that person again. Please understand the bottom line here. If we don't start helping early, it will cost us so much more socially and financially for decades than it has in the past. We owe it to the whole community to help all veterans, past and present. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly, very much.
Thank you very much for having us here. I'm Sergeant First Class Jocks with the Oregon National Guard Reintegration Team. First of all, I saw a couple of Vietnam veterans in the audience. I'd like to say welcome home to them. They didn't get it, and that's one of the reasons our team started. I'll give you a quick synopsis of what happened and with me personally, and look at my watch and make sure I'm not going too far over. There was a few of us sent back home a little early. There were some guys in Iraq that didn't want us there anymore. While we were back licking our wounds, the thing that really hit me the hardest was my machine gunner almost lost his arm and lost, the movement of it and whatnot. We were trying to get him down to the Corvallis area to get treatment, and there were supposedly no doctors that would accept TRICARE. So we started putting our nose to the dirt and looking around. And we ran into Dr. Mullins, Samaritan Health Group. And he said, not only do we accept TRICARE, everyone in my hospital is a member of the Welcome Home Committee for you guys. He's a Vietnam veteran. Too bad it was too late to get him back, but that was a big motivator for me. And we've had a lot of backing from our superiors, General Caldwell and so forth. I can tell you these soldiers I served with over there, they have a lot to offer. They had responsibility in their hands that would not be given to them in the civilian sector. Literally, if they made a decision, it would impact the entire war down to the lowest private. They're coming back into your communities, and they can handle that kind of responsibility. And it's our job on the reintegration team to put them in those positions to help them out when they need help. It was very surreal for me coming home. You go from combat to nothing, peacetime. Our military is at war, our country is not. And I'll tell you that flat out. That's what I got when I came back. It's wonderful being home, don't get me wrong. What we offer is we are a 411 for when these soldiers call. They won't spend 2 hours on the phone and then end up talking to the same person they talked to before with the VA and whatnot. There's many people in the VA that are there to help. And Dr. Sardo's back there to attest to that. We are an accurate referral system, a 411 for them. These soldiers don't want their hands held. I don't want my hands held. I just want to know the direction where to go. I treat them just like I treated my soldiers in Iraq, and I always have. Give them a direction to go, and they will execute. And they are a tremendous group of people right now coming home to your communities. We help them help themselves is the big thing, and that's the biggest thing we can do. I have seen a lot of issues with PTSD and whatnot. There are people out there that we've made contacts with that are there to help them, and there are people constantly coming out after this meeting, I'm sure I'll meet a few more. Returning Veterans Northwest, Dr. Sardo, Roseburg Healthcare System, White City, we've hit them all. And they all provide a specific thing for how bad issues might be and whatnot. And just getting them in the right way so they don't spend that 2 hours on the phone and then hang up the phone for 40 years. Because we've helped out some Vietnam veterans, too, that are now getting the help that they should have got 40 years ago or 38 years ago. And truly, I'm sure you'll hear it again. We can help them now with these things, and people, you know, there's a lot of people that want to help contribute to them coming home and whatnot, or you'll definitely pay for it 10 years from now, tenfold, or 40 years from now, 60 years from now. I don't want to go over my time limit here. I also am going to stand in for Sergeant First Class Moss and J.D. Bauckham. They run the Career Transition Assistance Program, which is, in a sense, the jobs program. They started off this program. It's been absolutely amazing, the amount of people that want to hire these veterans coming back. They started it off, and there was over 700 job openings on the website. After a while, all of us sat down and said, let's take a look at these. Well, working 38 hours a week for minimum wage, are we really doing them a favor? Those jobs came off, and all that is available on there now are career openings, a family wage job with benefits. And there's over 200 positions throughout the state, and that's it fluctuates 100. Platt Electric has been wonderful at hiring soldiers throughout the state and in other states. We go ahead, and one of the things we do, too, is a Soldier Enhancement Day. And as one of the members on the team says, it's a career fair on steroids. We bring in all the service organizations out of the community and then all the employers that wish to hire these veterans. And it's amazing. The last one we did, I think we're sitting at over 34 people got hired off the drill floor. And people were filing claims or getting enrolled with the VA, setting up times to meet with their county veteran service officers. And I have to say, some of the people that have really hit it in the cities have been the vet centers, Portland, Salem, Eugene, Grants Pass. They've been wonderful. We've used them extensively, and they have saved people's lives, no doubt. Back to the career stuff, they're always looking for guys. We have their information in the back that you can make contact with Sergeant First Class Moss and J.D. Bauckham. And we also have our information back there. I don't want to take too much of your time, and we'll be available for questions in the back of the room if you guys have any. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Thank you, folks.
The next panel is going to provide us with some additional overview and challenges facing returning veterans, Dr. Jim Sardo and Mandy Martin.
When you folks speak, please state your name for the record.
Mandy Martin, Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom Outreach Coordinator for the Portland Vet Center.
Jim Sardo, I'm a clinical psychologist with the Portland VA Medical Center.
Go ahead, Doctor.
Good evening, Mayor Potter, members of the council. I thank you for the opportunity. Let me first say, in addition to being clinical psychologist with the Portland VA, I'm currently the program director for PTSD services and the substance abuse treatment program. I've also had the rare privilege of serving twice in Iraq as a clinical psychologist, as a member of the United States Air Force Reserve, working as a combat stress specialist. I have a couple of notions I wanted to impart upon you as a kind of overview for this population. First is that the men and women who serve in the American military today are remarkable. They are generous. They are courageous. They are patriotic. Our military has recognized the task ahead of them, and there are certain things it does to prepare them for the task. And there are certain aspects of the task that you can do that. You can train them physically, so the strenuousness, the heat, the long hours they're prepared for. It trains them technically to do their jobs. We are probably the most proficient military fighting force in the world. And that's changed, and that keeps updating as the war changes and the demands change. Our military keeps adapting the training to prepare them. You can equip them, and our military, again, has been adapting the equipment for them. You can even go so far as to begin to train them as to what the psychological demands will be and train their families. And again, our military has done an increasingly more savvy job in preparing men and women for those demands. That goes so far. And then you send your men and women to a war zone, whether it's Iraq or Afghanistan, and you put their boots on the ground, and they're faced with life and death situations. They're faced with personal injury, loss, and injury of their fellow unit members, catastrophic losses amongst the civilians that they work with. And what has to follow are a series of adaptations. And we expect our military members to adapt to being away from their families and their support systems. We expect them to adapt to extreme danger, levels of threat that, you know, on a good day for people who have the safest jobs might simply be a mortar rocket round coming in their sleeping room at night where they bed down. And for the folks that have the harder jobs, it's being shot at or hit by an IED or VBIED any day. And then when they come home at night to rest, having a mortar rocket round come in. Living with that level of threat, folks adapt, and they do, and our military, again, has shown itself to be resilient and courageous. You have to learn to keep your emotions at a distance over there to do your job. If you're overwhelmed by the immediacy of the losses and the danger, you can't function for 12 to 15 to 18 months. So you learn to put all that stuff at arm's length. Finally, you have to learn that in response to anything that's challenging or threatening, you can exert an immediate, highly assertive, even violent response. Anger is a very, very adaptable change folks make over there. At the end of 12 to 18 months, folks come home, and again, we've done a better job. The VA, the military are all collaborating now on how do we screen folks who may need help. Unfortunately, as was referred to earlier, I think our military members come home at the end of their deployments, much like a marathon runner comes 100 yards away from the finish line and knows they could easily walk across the finish line and finish the race, but chooses to run across anyway. And our folks look at the screening process and say, it'll feel like quitting early if I say I need help. And so they walk across the finish line, and when they're asked if they're okay, they give you a thumbs up and say, I'm okay. Everything's fine. I did my job. I feel good about it. And it's not until 6 months, a year, or was referred to earlier, 2 or 3 years down the road, that it becomes clear that those adaptations we ask them to make don't just turn off when they come home. Keeping their emotions at arm's length, being quick to anger and respond, feeling as if the world will be highly threatening and even potentially life-threatening at any moment doesn't just turn off. And that begins to interfere with their efforts to go back to school, to reengage with their families, to get back to work. At the VA, we see some folks, those folks who the Oregon Reintegration Team brings into us. They track them down. They hunt through the woods. They bring them in wherever they find them. Those folks who are willing to come in and say, hey, I need some help. But unfortunately, I think there's a significant majority, probably 2/3 of folks, have not yet sought any VA services in Oregon who have returned. Maybe they don't need it, or maybe that there's a portion of those folks who simply haven't quite been willing to raise their hand and haven't quite known how to ask for help. And that brings it back down to the level of the community. Our response as a community has to be to be vigilant, to be aware of those men and women who have served. As Sergeant Jocks pointed out, this is a country that a very small percentage has ended up serving in this war. This is not a country at war in the traditional sense, as you saw in Vietnam and World War II and Korea. This war is being fought by a relatively restricted number of people. As a community, we need to be vigilant. We need to be aware. We need to be looking out for the best interests of these men and women who serve. And thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, folks.
Thanks, Doctor.
Again, Mandy Martin from the Portland Vet Center. I would like to expand on Dr. Sardo's comments about the community and how I believe how important it is for those individuals, such as the reintegration team, to be out there also educating the community on what is indeed available for these returning veterans. A lot of these individuals don't stay in the military, and therefore they lose that support system and that knowledge of a lot of the things that are available to them. My job as an Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom Outreach Coordinator is to indeed be out in the community, in the communities, speaking with our returning veterans, talking to them about readjustment, community resources, VA resources, state resources. I, too, am a member of Operation Iraqi Freedom, and one of the most immediate things that I noticed when I came back, or people noticed for me, is that I had changed. But from that and from those individuals voicing those changes to me, I was able to steer my life in a direction that has been so incredibly positive. I was fortunate enough to be surrounded by my benefit. Before I left, I worked at the VA Medical Center. And therefore, those who were at the medical center were informing me of what my benefits were. And that wasn't happening immediately after I returned from the first phase. And I knew that this was going to be a struggle, and that hopefully I'll have an opportunity to assist our returning veterans somehow, some way. And the position within the vet center just miraculously opened, and now I have the privilege of steering my life in a direction and helping these guys come back. I knew immediately that I had more to offer than what I was specifically hired to do at the VA. And to be able to utilize my voice as a returning veteran to help these folks come back has been incredibly, incredibly rewarding for me, and hopefully rewarding for our veterans. The services at the Vet Center are not time limited. We do not have that 2-year time limit for readjustment counseling. We have Vietnam veterans who are walking into our doors for the very first time. This conflict is affecting them in many ways. They are sending their sons and their daughters off to a war as well. So I very much care for those individuals who have gone beyond their 2 years and have been unable or were unaware of the services that were available to them. I very much hope to be able to get our voice out there as much as we possibly can to let everybody know that the services of the Vet Center are available to all returning veterans. And my focus is to serve the veteran as a whole, assistance with jobs, assistance with emergency financial assistance, education, all of that. It's not just a matter of serving the PTSD issue. It's the issue of serving the whole veteran. And I thank you for having us here today to listen to our stories.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our third panel is going to highlight the community-based efforts, some of the community-based efforts underway. Kara Levine, Jeff Rogers, and Lieutenant Sarah Westbrook. Welcome.
I'm Carol Levine, and I'm here to representing the Returning Veterans Resource Project Northwest. We're a group of licensed mental health professionals in the Portland area who are offering free and confidential counseling to returning veterans and family members coming back now from Iraq and Afghanistan. We are poignantly aware of the difficulties that veterans face as they return to civilian life, and feel very strongly that it's our responsibility as a community to provide a healing and supportive environment for them. So we organized as a group in February of 2005 and created a web-based directory, which now has probably 40 or more therapists on it. Some work specifically with couples and families, others with children, and we've all have experience working with grief and trauma. We have see ourselves as an alternative to VA and Vet Center services. We've worked closely with the Veterans Administration and the Vet Center. They have provided some trainings for us, and they continue to refer people to us as needed. We also seem to have become a focal point for other people in the community who are interested in providing services. If you look at the resource page we have on our website, we have a yoga class available free for veterans. There's a chiropractor. We have several craniosacral massage therapists, and we're continuing to expand in that direction, adding acupuncturists and the like. We expect to be in this for the long haul. We know it's a difficult time and a difficult transition, and that's what we do.
Thank you very much.
I'm Sarah Westbrook. I'm a lieutenant with the Police Bureau, and I'm our crisis intervention team coordinator. Today I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what we're doing to try to prepare for the returning veterans from the current wars. The crisis intervention team is a 40-hour training. All of our police officers, our sergeants, and our detectives are attending the training. We figure it'll take a little over 2 years for everyone to get through. We decided to be proactive about this issue in that we wanted to be as prepared as we could as an agency and as a community for people returning from war. So part of our training has always been about PTSD, and we're specifically carving out time that's about what are we going to be seeing in the veterans that are returning from our current war. We learn about that from mental health professionals, and we make a point of not learning too much so that we think that we're therapists, but learning enough so that we're able to recognize what's happening and then direct people in the appropriate way. We also had Sergeant Jacques and some others come to our Sergeant's Academy and speak about this issue, so that we're trying to be as prepared as we can so that everyone working the street, our eyes and ears are paying attention to see what's happening. We often have someone in our class who has served or a spouse has served. This issue is near and dear to the people of our organization, and we want to do whatever we can to be prepared and to help.
Mayor and Commissioners, I'm Jeff Rogers, working now as a mental health counselor. And in my private practice, I see a number of veterans, some of whom are referred to me through Carol Levine's wonderful project. I've also had the opportunity to do some volunteer work at the Vet Center, and you heard from Mandy Martin, who does great work there. And Dr. Sardo gave me the opportunity to volunteer some time at the VA and working with veterans there as well. I want to highlight one thing, that looking at the population of people that I've seen in each of those places and that others in each of those places are seeing, there at the moment is still a much larger number of Vietnam and even some Korea and World War II veterans seeking and obtaining treatment for PTSD and other mental health issues than so far Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. There are lots of reasons for that, and we've heard some of the reluctance of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans to come forward. But I want to highlight some differences in the conditions that existed in the Vietnam era and what exists now, because I think they illustrate how important what you are doing is. And I want to mention three major differences that I see between the Vietnam era, when I and others came back from that war, and what I see today. I'll label them honor, awareness, and resources. And your resolution is helping in all of these. As you know, when Vietnam veterans came back, they were at best ignored by the country and communities, and at worst scorned, spat upon, and worse. The fact that you are having these hearings and that the city of Portland is recognizing all veterans, including the current veterans and veterans of the Gulf War and all conflicts, is a wonderful thing. It would never have happened 35, 40 years ago. So just the fact that you are speaking out is reflecting the huge change in public attitude, where no matter what one thinks of the war, people now are fully in support of and honoring veterans. And that's a wonderful change. It doesn't make it easy. But many of the Vietnam veterans are coming for treatment for the very first time after 35 or 40 years. And that brings me to the second factor, which I'll call awareness. One of the reasons so many Vietnam veterans didn't come in, Vietnam and earlier wars didn't come in, is there was not much awareness. PTSD as a clinical diagnosis wasn't even on the books until early 1980s. So there was very little formal treatment for PTSD, let alone any real recognition of it. So Vietnam veterans and earlier veterans really didn't understand what was going on with them. And we've heard already from some more recent veterans how difficult it is for them to understand what's going on, even though there is increasing awareness of it now. So your hearings, your resolution, are another significant step in adding to the increasing awareness that PTSD is a normal reaction to a very abnormal situation, and it is honorable to come for treatment and appropriate. So that is another important aspect of it. Finally, I think a third difference between the Vietnam era and now is resources. This hearing is illustrating the wide range of resources that are available now in the areas not only of mental health counseling, but in employment and housing and benefits and so forth. The real difficulty is there's so much available and it's so complex a system that it's hard for people to access it and find their way through it. And your bringing this hearing together and Bob Durston's work in putting these panels together is another important step in highlighting the wide range of resources that are available and how people can find them. We've already heard some of the clearinghouses that veterans can go through. And I also want to mention veterans and their families, not just the veterans themselves, but the families are sacrificing, and the families have major emotional and psychological, as well as financial and other issues. So I think in all those ways, your resolution is helping greatly as another step in honoring veterans, in making them and all of us aware of the need and of highlighting the resources that are available. So I want to thank all of you for your work on this.
Thank you.
Our next panel is, our fourth panel is going to highlight business partners, R.J. Cervantes and David Roy and Deborah Imsey.
Mayor Potter and City Commissioners, my name is R.J. Cervantes, and I represent the Portland Business Alliance. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. On behalf of the Portland Business Alliance's members and staff, I speak today in support of this important and necessary resolution. Yesterday, our executive committee met and discussed the resolution, which they unanimously endorsed. They asked me to come here today and support the City of Portland in its efforts in helping local veterans. The Portland Business Alliance is determined to find areas of partnership with the city and with other local organizations to help returning veterans reintegrate into our community. As is mentioned in the resolution and was mentioned in the previous testimonies, more than 18,000 Oregonians have served in both Iraq and Afghanistan since the beginning of hostilities. 5,000 of those troops are citizen soldiers from the Oregon National Guard. These individuals freely volunteered for service to their country, and they should be welcomed back as the fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, and neighbors that they are to us. Many of these soldiers developed excellent workforce skills, management expertise, and other tools that can be quickly integrated into many of Oregon's industries. This city and this state only stand to benefit by reaching out to these veterans and ensuring that they have every opportunity to connect with the right organizations that help them reintegrate. The Portland Business Alliance also recognizes that some of Oregon's sons and daughters made the ultimate sacrifice in the places that they were called to serve. Thousands of miles away from the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan, some of these soldiers left families and friends that are a part of our communities. We should hold true to the memory of Oregon's fallen soldiers by reaching out to their families and friends and making sure that they'll always have a strong community that they can turn to when they need to. We should also honor them by ensuring that their comrades who made it back from Iraq and Afghanistan have every opportunity to come back to Oregon, find a job with a living wage, and feel like they, too, are a vital part of this community. Taking care of those who served and helping those who lost loved ones is something that we feel everyone can rally to. We urge the passage of this resolution, and we look forward to the community summit where interested partners can come together and learn more about how we can join efforts and make a difference. Thank you for inviting me today, and a big thank you to the other panelists.
Thank you.
David Roy from Knowledge Learning Corporation, and good afternoon and thank you. I am here simply to state Knowledge Learning Corporation's support of Oregon National Guard and our appreciation of the sacrifices made by all U.S. military personnel. With 1,000 Oregon employees and 42,000 employees nationally, and with 200,000 children in our care at our child care centers, Knowledge Learning Corporation is well aware that many, many families are affected by deployment. And we are pleased that the city of Portland is addressing the issue of reintegration. We are also pleased to have been asked to be part of this process and to participate in the summit meeting planned for later this year. Thank you.
My name is Deborah Imsey. I'm the Executive Director for Metro Multifamily Housing Association. The Metro Multifamily Housing Association is very supportive of the resolution before you. Several members of our association are interested in helping with the reintegration effort by connecting returning veterans with appropriate housing when necessary. The concept has been discussed in general terms, and we look forward to coordinating with Sergeant Jacques and the Oregon National Guard Veterans Reintegration Program to set up a pilot program. We also look forward to sitting down with other members of this community for the upcoming summit. I want to thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for taking the time to support our returning veterans, and Bob Durston for working with us on this important issue. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to hear from representatives of Portland State University who are playing a key role in this issue, Sergeant Heyer, Jake Meeks, and the Honorable Mike Burton.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Sergeant Heyer. Actually, I'm Ben today, but I'm here not on behalf of Portland State University, but on behalf of a concerned veteran. I am an Afghanistan veteran who had to come home a little early because they didn't want me over there no more. I'm actually an alumnist of Portland State also. So the Veterans Resource Centers, what are they about? They haven't been established yet, but, you know, we're working on that right now. How it started is some of us were walking around some of the universities and, you know, noticed all these centers that are available to other individuals, ethnic cultures, minorities, and go on. And, you know, we realized that there's nothing available for veterans at universities and or colleges. There's no place to go. I mean, yeah, we have the vet centers that you can go up to and other places, but as you have heard by numerous people, a lot of veterans really don't want to talk about their issues. And I'm not just talking about veterans also. I'm talking about their family members who live through this, breathe this, eat, you know, every day. My wife had to live through, and, you know, a lot of these other members, you know, may have spouses or children who had to live through this with them. So it's not just these Veterans Resource Centers are not trying to just serve veterans, they're trying to serve their families also. So, I mean, of course, family is very important to me, and that plays a vital role in my life. So with that said, you know, we're trying to get help for these individuals with all these other resources available. And, you know, it's sometimes when you go to a university, you ask, well, where is this available to me? Who do I go to? And you get from the answer for some people, I don't know. Or, you know, go to this person and then they may be able to help you. Well, by having a resource center, you eliminate the middleman, or as I used to say, the middle person, and you get them directed into the right path. So, what is the center going to be about? It's going to be about having contact information, having, you know, direct lines of contact with people, individuals such as Dr. Sardo himself, the PTSD unit, the vet centers, people among campuses. And they're now, where's these centers going to, who are they going to go after? They're going to go after student veterans and their families. So somebody who's interested in the school, wants to go attend that university, and they come in, we will be these centers will be there to help them out. So that's what we're trying to accomplish here, is helping veterans and their families out. And now they don't have to be a veteran also. They can be a service member. So we're not trying to specify just to any particular, you know, veteran. You have to, meaning that you don't have to serve in a campaign to come to these centers. Now, with the issues, why, you know, okay, well, everybody's talking about just about Afghanistan and Iraq. Well, we're not trying to meet the needs just specifically of Afghanistan and Iraq. You do have members that are going to these universities from active duty that were off active duty and that are, you know, obviously not in the military no more, who are Vietnam veterans, Kosovo, Bosnia, so on and so forth. So we're trying to meet their needs also. And the biggest downfalls that I can see right now from my endeavors is that, you know, trying to get space and funding, that's the two biggest things. Now, I mean, strictly can say that it's not a matter of if anymore that these centers are going to come up. It's just a matter of when and where. And we do have support of Representative Chip Shields, who also is a PSU alumni, too. We also have support of some, you know, top generals, General Caldwell, the Oregon Army National Guard, and we have support of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs Director Jim Willis. And all, you know, I'm not asking for sympathy and not asking for anything, just help. I signed up to do a job, and I went and did it, and I came back, and unlike some people, you know, I came back in one piece but with an injury. So thank you for having me here today.
Thank you.
My name is Jacob Meeks. I'm a veteran of Afghanistan, and I run a veterans group up at Portland State University, so I've kind of dealt a lot with the veterans coming back. And I guess the basic thing with us coming into a university, when I left, people have talked about falling off the face of the earth or the veteran doesn't want to talk to anybody. I guess I was one of those people. I got out of my 4 years of active duty, and I said, well, I don't want anything to do with the military anymore. People ask me questions. I want to be left alone. I tried to be, as a student, I tried to be a kid again. And then I figured out I wasn't, you know, because I had served this time, and I had seen these things, and I had done these things. And I couldn't really fit into the university life. Where we're coming at with this Veterans Resource Center is it not only gives them this connection to these outside resources, which is very helpful because it is a big bureaucracy we have to navigate, and that can be frustrating, but it also gives the veteran recognition on campus. They come to a college campus and they say, hey, well, these people have recognized our service. They have this center in there. They have, hopefully, veterans staffing this center who can help other veterans so we can facilitate the same way Mandy does, is the same way Sergeant Jocks does. I mean, it's another point, and I think especially at the university system, because you are going to get a lot of people like me who don't want to talk to anybody, but they'll end up coming into there because, well, they might have to, I mean, just for the university requirements, and we can catch them then. And that's very important. I think the one thing I'd like to illustrate, too, is what's happening with these people, and if we don't catch them, if we don't help them reintegrate, a lot of things can happen, and I deal with this all the time. I spoke to a young man the other day. He had two tours in Iraq. He was a Marine. I'm not a clinical physician, but I would say if I had to diagnose him, I would say, you know, he experienced all the symptoms of PTSD. This is an individual I dealt with, and he would talk to me, and he trusted me, and he kind of had that, but he had came downward to the point where he just couldn't reintegrate back into this community. He volunteered to go back over to Iraq for his third tour. Now, what do we have to deal with this individual when he comes back? We have to deal with more problems. And it keeps building up like that. So things like this resource center, things like the Portland Vet Center, things like Sergeant Jocks' reintegration program, they're vital, you know, and we might come asking for support with these things so we can have the community, because I think it was something Mr. Adams said in the beginning, that it's a federal-based thing, helping the veterans, but really it's a community process to reintegrate the people that serve for this country. It's all of us together, and this is one piece of that. So thank you very much for having me today.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, members of the commission, my name is Mike Burton. I live at 2393 Southwest Park Place, and I want to thank you for the time you're giving us today. I'm Vice Provost at Portland State University and Executive Director of the School of Extended Studies, and we're very proud of the fact, by the way, that Jake is going to be graduating this year, so for all that.
Congratulations.
I'm also a veteran, having served 38 years, and retired as an officer in the United States Air Force. I had combat tours in the Congo, Laos, and Vietnam. And I was one of the lucky ones. I came back alive. I came back, for the most part, in one piece. So I'm here today wearing both my PSU hat and my veterans hat. I'd like to thank Bob Durston for the work that he's done in getting the resolution before you today. One of the first and foremost and easiest things that one learns in military training is that you never, ever leave anyone behind. I say it's easy to learn because I don't think it's so much of a military ethos as it is an American ethos. Americans simply do not put someone in harm's way and leave them behind. It simply isn't done. And what you're discussing today in this resolution, I think, is much in that same spirit. I appreciate the council addressing the issue and helping veterans. Portland State University has a proud history that really begins with its role in 1946 as an extension program for returning GIs from World War II. In fact, there were those in Congress in those days that said a college education program for GIs probably wouldn't work and was a waste of money. Those GIs proved the skeptics wrong, and the education those GIs got was part of what made them the greatest generation. Still, we've had mixed results on how we have treated our veterans. When I came back from Vietnam, I wasn't made to feel exactly welcome. In fact, I recall the first time I ran for public office, my campaign staff was worried about how to explain my military service and wondered if there's some way we could ignore it. I chose not to do that, which may be a reason why I lost that election, but I hope it wasn't. Nonetheless, I took advantage of my GI benefits in the 1970s. I got one of my master's degrees and did some of my doctoral work with my veterans' educational benefits. In those times, 90% or more of the eligible veterans use their educational benefits. Today, that number is much smaller. Why, no one is exactly certain, but we do know that the percentage is unfortunate because there are those far more opportunities than those people who are taking advantage of them. Portland State is working with these gentlemen here to expand services that we provide veterans. There are presently 500 students enrolled at Portland State who receive some form of veterans benefits. I think that number should be higher. There are most likely individuals who are enrolled at PSU and in higher education elsewhere who may not be aware or may not be taking advantage of benefits due to a number of reasons, and I think Jeff mentioned some of those. It's just the system is beguiling. We need to reach out to those men and women and tell them that the opportunities that they have. We also need to connect to those just returning veterans and eligible troops on duty to let them know how they can use their benefits and show them the pathways to educational and training success. But we need not only to gain these students, we need to retain them. Because of budgetary constraints imposed by a lack of adequate funding for higher education in the state, PSU has only one half total FTE to address specific needs of veterans. Too many students find themselves unable to complete their college degrees. And while veterans generally have a higher success rate than other groups in successful completion, veterans are also faced with much more daunting issues in making that completion. The proposed Veterans Resource Center at PSU will be a step towards helping meet those needs. It will serve as a focal point for contact through which student veterans can get advice and assistance for academic programs and serve as a bridge for them and their families while making the transition to new directions. Perhaps there is a way the City of Portland and PSU can partner in making the Veterans Resource Center at PSU a reality. I appreciate your endorsement of the proposal and look forward to working with you and your staffs and directions to accomplish that goal. I'll leave a copy of the proposed outline for the center with your clerk, and I look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next panel is going to highlight some city efforts and local government partner efforts. In addition to Multnomah County Commissioner Jeff Kogan, who's no stranger to these chambers, and Councillor Robert Liberty today, who's no stranger either, who has testified in the previous agenda item. We also have Alina Argentina and Anna Canwood. Commissioner Kogan, why don't you go first?
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter, members of council. I'm Jeff Kogan from Multnomah County Commission. Don't worry, I'm not here to ask for money. I want to thank you for bringing this resolution forward and let you know that Multnomah County is proud to be a partner in this. We will be having a companion resolution heard tomorrow morning. I just wanted to briefly say that the concept of supporting our troops has become a political catchphrase, and it's often now a proxy for whether or not you support the war in Iraq. But this is not about that. This is truly supporting our troops as they're being reintegrated into our community. And as you've heard this afternoon, that's something that we didn't do after Vietnam, and that caused tremendous suffering for the troops who were returning and also had severe consequences for this community and communities throughout the country. But we have the opportunity now to learn from the mistake that we made 35 years ago. And I'm really happy that the city is going to be doing this, that the county is going to be partnering, looking forward to working together on the summit that this resolution creates and partnering together in the coming months after that on helping our veterans to reintegrate into the community and connecting them with the resources we have here. Thank you very much.
Robert Liberty, Metro Councilor. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Metro is glad to support this effort and contribute in a modest way by donating 50 family passes to the Oregon Zoo, and in addition, 50 passes, one-day passes to Oxbow or Blue Lake Regional Park. And I think if you're returning home after what has to be a very difficult experience, there's no perhaps no better way to reintegrate than experience with your family and a part of this wonderful Northwest, a place I'm sure they're glad to be coming home to. And so congratulations to you for this effort, and I'm glad to donate these passes, not only, of course, on behalf of Metro and the Oregon Zoo, but my colleague Brian Newman, who with me is liaison to the zoo, and all the members of the council. Thank you for your work on this. I think it's very important.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Mylene Argentina, Services Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. We're all about promoting a healthy Portland, and I think this is an important part of that. Could think of no better way to recognize returning vets and help them reconnect to the community than by offering them a way to visit our facilities and take advantage of some of our many programs. So we're delighted to offer 50 gift certificates for $50 each to thank the returning vets and their families for their efforts and sacrifices. The gift certificates can be used for any activity or program offered through our community center, and we have many of those. They can pick these up next door at the Portland building, ranging from swimming to arts and music classes, kids programs, outdoor programs, and everything in between. If the recipients are not already established customers, we hope this will be the beginning of a lifelong relationship between the vets and their families and their neighborhood community centers and parks. And we'll be working through Bob Durston to get these gift certificates to the Veterans Administration. Thank you.
Mayor and Commissioners, Anna Canwood, Operations Manager for the Bureau of Human Resources. We are extremely supportive of the resolution. We have, in essence, had kind of a piecemeal and not cohesive approach to our recruitments of veterans and to our transition of our returning employees from active duty. We look forward to developing a relationship with the Veterans Reintegration Program to address the particular needs of veterans returning to the workforce, including our own veterans who are coming back to employment. We do engage, again, in some outreach efforts in recruiting veterans, but again, what we hope to accomplish through the resolution is a much more systematic and centralized approach to our recruitment of veterans. Kimberly Mark Vallejo, who you heard from, I think, earlier this afternoon, provided a list of suggestions concerning transition of city employees who are returning from active duty, and we are looking at those in hopes of developing a package of information that bureaus can provide to our returning veterans to assist in a more or in a successful transition back into the work community. Thank you.
Thank you all. Our final panel is we're going to hear from leaders in the community of faith, Reverend Chuck Curry, Cindy Flock, and Geraldine Foote.
My name is Peter Nikitin, and I will be reading the testimony of Geraldine Foote. Her mother is very ill today, and Geraldine is unavoidably absent. She sends her apologies. Testimony of Geraldine Foote, St. Luke Lutheran Church Peace and Justice Group. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I speak as a person of faith, the daughter of a veteran, and a mother of a 16-year-old son, and as a teacher. As a teacher and mother, I grieve for young people who join the Guard to help their communities or who enlist for an education and are instead sent to foreign soil, returning damaged physically and spiritually. As U.S. taxpayers, Portlanders have paid over $528 million toward the Iraq War, money that could have gone for health care, education, and veterans care. We need to make equally significant investments for those families and returning veterans affected by this war. Previously, she came before you to advocate for troops home resolution. This stance does not mean that she does not support our troops. I want them home, and I want them cared for when they get here. Touched by the loss of loved ones,